Hi everybody, welcome to Wednesday Night Oasis for July 21st, 2021. July is almost behind us, and the summer hasn't been as bad as I expected. So I'm praising the Lord for that. Hey, last week we're still in this 401 class that's discovering the mission of our church and the mission of for ourselves individually. And last week we talked about, we kind of left off with number three on your things to understand what the church in Acts did. And the third thing was that they shared their troubles. And so we looked at Galatians 6:2, and it says, carry each other's burdens in a way that you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this is kind of scary to people somewhat, but God is calling us to share our burdens and our troubles with each other, not for the purpose of someone fixing our problems, because God is the fixer of the problems, right? Our reason for sharing with others is to pray together, because there's power when multiple people pray together. Sometimes it's to give us insight into what God has to say in His Word that we may have missed. But it's really more of an encouragement and a support to us. That's what the reason for doing that, not for judging purposes. And so if you find yourself being the person who is being shared with rather than the one who's doing the sharing, please understand that your role in this is not to judge anyone in the conversation, but to listen, to pray together, to seek God's word together, and to help one another, encourage one another. So that is the purpose of that. Look at what it says in Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God is calling us to live sacrificially, to give to others, to help one another. This sacrifice comes from a passion for God. And it brings us to this third thing that the church in Acts had in common. They had a common passion for God. You see, they were there with a purpose. On Sunday, we're going to be talking about this. And it's kind of interesting how my Sunday message and tonight's message kind of intertwines a little bit. I guess it's not by accident. It's because I'm doing it that way. It's studying that way. So it kind of works out that way. But look at what it says in Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Now, if you think about that a little bit, there's a fellowship that's happening here. People are meeting every day, everywhere, in different places. They meet together, right? Please be there Sunday, because I'm going deeper into this topic on Sunday. It's about meeting together, about coming together. These people came together for a common passion. It's kind of like the kind of passion that people have for football games, if you know what I mean. They get together and, man, they are excited and on fire. People scream and shout at that their team is going to win. God wants us to have that same passion or more than that for Him. And It's really funny because we're kind of okay with the football passion, but with the godly passion, sometimes for some reason we have an idea that that's kind of wacky. It's kind of out there. I mean, are you going to get that passionate and excited and shout for joy just because of God? I mean, a football team, we understand that is really meaningless, whether they win or lose, or a basketball team or whatever. I was watching the Suns the other night here in the last game, and praise the Lord, it was the last game because I couldn't take any more of it. So I'm glad it's behind them and that kind of thing, but it's just a game. I'd like to see us be able to get that worked up over the things of God, that excited about it, where we're shouting at the TV screen. Do you do that when you hear my sermons? Do you shout at this? Well, maybe I don't want to know that. You might be shouting something I don't want to hear. So there you go. So we see these people coming together in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what it says. Acts chapter 2, 1 and 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Here we see people coming together with a common passion. Suddenly, the presence and power of God shows up. Do you think that this explosion of God's power was only for them and not for us today? Do you think that? Well, the answer is no, if that's what you think. See, that scares people. Because, man, do you think people can just get that on fire for God? I mean, it's okay to do that for other reasons, but if you go to church, all right, talk about Jesus a little bit, but don't talk about being passionate for Christ or the power of God coming in this place, because that makes people a little bit nervous. It doesn't make me nervous. And I hope it doesn't make you nervous, because I have to tell you that every Sunday I expect something spectacular to happen in that place. And I hope it does, even if we don't see it. But it's okay for me to shout for joy for the football game, but church, it's a little weird to do that. I don't think that it is. See, if it's okay for me to go to a rock concert and be passionate about the music, and raise my hands, hooray for that song. I love that. But if you raise your hands at church, I think you're bordering on becoming a little fanatical. And we love fanatical. You see, it's not something that we do because, hey, look at me, I'm spiritual. It's something we do because of who God is. See, I don't mind being one of those people that is seem kind of fanatical, because if there was anything worth being fanatical about, God is worth it. God is the only thing that you and I really should be that excited about. Although I get it with the games and that kind of stuff. I do get that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think you're getting my point, and I don't want to get off target here, that the way we get fanatical and get excited and get on fire for some sporting event, there's nothing wrong with getting excited about God the same way. And so I want you to allow yourself to do that. Now, I'm not looking for us to all of a sudden be doing that all around. All I'm saying is, I want you to feel free to raise your hands or to praise God or whatever it is that how God leads you to do that. I want you to feel free to do that. In Matthew 6:21, it says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Well, in any relationship, there, whether it be a marriage or your faith, when you start feeling like things are changing, you have to ask yourself, where am I investing my treasures? Now, let's talk about that because I don't want you to freak out on me right away. Treasures, I consider treasures my time, my talents, and my treasures, finances. So when I say treasures, don't think that Andy, this is Andy with a play to bring in more money at the church. I don't care about that. I care about that, but you get what I'm saying. That's not, that God is the one who does that, right? So I tell you this because God wants to be number one in your heart. I mean, I guess I would say, if you don't go to church on a Sunday morning because it's time for the Super Bowl at 4 o'clock in that afternoon, and you don't want to miss the pregame show, you might miss some of the commercials. Well, in today's world, we have this DVR thing. DVR the whole thing and come to church. But the point of that is, where's your heart if something is coming before that? God wants our hearts. And he wants us to move with him being first in our lives. And if you see that you're kind of messing up a little bit and you're going the wrong way, I guess the thing that you have to do is just refocus and understand what it is that you're denying when you're putting something else before God. Here's what you should know about the church. It was true for the book of Acts, and it's true for our church. Unity is powerful. There's nothing as powerful as the unity of the church being one. And that's true today as well as the church in Acts. When we see these people in Acts with passion for Christ, it transformed the whole city, the region, the whole world around them was turned upside down. I say upside down because it was made right side up, because our world is upside down, right? And it needs to be turned back the other way. So as we continue on, Paul and Silas enters the city of Thessalonica. And the people there say, hey, these are those little groups of people who turned the world upside down. This is that group of people who really have everybody in a spin, that their teaching is kind of radical. Their teaching would have been seen as radical because they hadn't been taught what Jesus was teaching them. In fact, they had been taught the opposite, even by the religious leaders of their day. Friends, that's what I want people to say about Prescott Valley Bible Church. I want them to say that there's something happening in Yavapai County, and I think it's because of those crazy Christians at PVBC. I see that they have little stickers on the back of their cars that say Prescott Valley Bible Church. Who does that? I mean, let me tell you something, that those little things like those stickers, if you don't have one, I think that's bordering on sinful. So you might want to get one of those. I think we have them at the church. If we don't have them, let me know and I'll get you some, or I'll get you one. Put it on the car, and so that people know the family of God that you're a part of, and it will make them ask questions. I mean, I've had people before say, I don't get this. I open up this coupon book, and there in it is Prescott Valley Bible Church. I go out and I'm driving, and here's a van driving by that says Prescott Valley Bible Church on it. I'm searching for churches in the area, and you know what comes up? You see, what happens is that as often as we can get in people's faces, it makes them question, is there a reason why I'm seeing this? And there is, because we are a family of God, and we have a purpose to search for God's truth and to implement it in our lives. That's what we do. So when we find ourselves in that place, we need to be people who are, even though when sometimes things are bad, we get that God is in control. And I get that the world that we live in right now is pretty bad, right? It's bad. People have lost their jobs. Are they joyfully praising the Lord? I hope that they are. You see, when you're doing that, when you find yourself in a position where people know what you're dealing with, but yet you're still praising God and you still are walking with confidence and walking with peace, listen, there's no better witness for Him. And isn't that worth being known as one of those crazy Christians? There's something you should know about crazy Christians. When people are battling, they want to know why you have the hope that you have. And there you go. It's an opportunity for you to share the passion you have for Christ with others. And we're called to do that every day, everywhere. John 17, 20 and 21 says this: My prayer is not for them alone, not just for the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, you no longer, if you're a Christ follower today, you no longer represent yourself. You represent the body of Christ. You represent Prescott Valley Bible Church. You represent Jesus to those who are searching today. So straighten up, will you? You get what I'm saying, right? We are people who need to walk in unity. Even though the world around us is falling apart, we don't need to be, because we know the end of the story. We know who's in control. We know that nothing happens without God allowing it to happen. And so just know that. So the people in Acts were praising God, enjoying favor with people, and the Lord added to their numbers daily. Now, here's the question. Do you see yourself in the book of Acts? Does your life line up with how God intended for the church to live? And if it's out of line in any area, what are you going to do about it? I want to encourage you to begin by taking steps you need to allow the power and presence of God to flow through you in your life and through your life as God intended for it to do. So I want to end there, because we're going to keep going further here in this. Sorry about that. And we're going to keep going further in this. And so let's pray as we close our time together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this day, for this time together. Lord, it's our prayer that in all things we would represent you and be directed by you. And Lord, help us to grow our passion for you in everything we do. Help us to be bold and consider how we can share your truth every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day. I hope to see you Sunday. Take care now. Love you guys.